Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I want to go straight to my Twitter feed from this morning because I have been trying to figure out why on earth someone would be actually in favor of a mandate. Or I'm sure your friends, family member Fred's, they have some ideas that just seem utterly bizarre to you. You can't make sense of them. And you're probably asking yourself the same types of questions that I've been asking myself. And that is, you know, what is going through this person's mind to where they think that a mandate would be a good idea? How can they not see the, or how can they be just impervious to or oblivious to the lies that we've been told from the politicians, from the people that are in charge of these institutions? How can they not just see the data that's right in front of their eyes? How can they be blowing this out of proportion? How can there be someone that's driving in their own car with no one else in the car with them wearing a mask and a face shield? How does that happen? And I think I've actually got some answers for you. And I've got to give a huge shout out to my very good friend, Chris Martinson. We're going to go to a video that he just posted with another doctor, a psychologist, I believe. And I think this is going to shed some light on why your friends and family member Fred's in real life and in social media can just be so irrational. We'll just put it at that. All right, let's go into the Twitter feed. And if you have not seen, let me play this video for you guys because it is pretty... Well, I don't think we need to go there yet because I want to focus mostly on what Chris is saying. I actually watched this video and it's 45 seconds and this is not fake news. And ironically enough, you see the cop there that actually wasn't. Actually, he's wearing the mask. He's not even wearing it the right way. It's inside out, but he wasn't even wearing it properly, I guess, according to them. But this gentleman was just, he wasn't being the guy that they're arresting. You can watch the video. He was not being obnoxious in any way. He was just basically saying, hey, why, you know, you guys aren't even wearing a mask and I have a precondition. I have asthma. And I guess he looks like he was in some sort of convenience store, like a Circle K. This is in the UK. And these police officers actually arrested him for not wearing a mask. They took him into custody and arrested him simply for not wearing a mask. And he was saying he's got an exemption because he has asthma. Now, whether he has asthma or not, I don't know. But even if he doesn't, I mean, this is utterly absurd when the police officers themselves are A, not even wearing a mask properly, and B, it's inside out, or at least that's what it looked like to me. But even if the police officers were wearing the appropriate mask or whatever, this is where we are right now in a quote unquote civilized society, where the police are arresting people for not wearing a mask. I mean, so then you look at the data that is abundantly clear that in a laboratory setting, a specific type of mask worn perfectly may move the needle. The question is, how much does it move the needle? And then that would be if someone is talking, if someone is spitting, if that's coming out of their mouth, right? If someone is just literally walking through a convenience store, not talking to anyone, not even close to anyone, you know, what is the benefit of them wearing a mask? The obvious answer is zero, absolutely zero. So we have zero benefit, but yet the cost is we are allocating police resources. And I'm not even going to go into how much control and authority and power this gives the government that they should not have. I mean, this is a perfect example of government overreach and totalitarianism and how we're basically turning ourselves or turning society into a police state. So that should speak volumes in and of itself. But to think that we're allocating police resources and actually arresting someone and you know, potentially ruining their life for not wearing a face mask in a convenience store. I mean, this is the world we're living in right now. So again, let's go back to the topic at hand. The title of the video, it's like, how can people How can intelligent, reasonable people come to the conclusion that this is a good idea? Again, it's like they're hypnotized. And I'm using that word intentionally. More on that in a moment. Let's go down here. Just last night, one of my favorite countries on the planet Earth, a country where I've got a lot of friends and people who I would consider family members. They decided that they're going to go and have not only a medicine mandate, but now you have to have the medicine even to get in the country. And I've got the tweet right here from the president. That's what I quoted. But the thing is, you don't have to have a negative test. You just have to have proof that you've had the medicine. So let's just think this through here. What they're saying is they don't mind if you come to the country and spread the cerveza sickness, just so long as you've obeyed authority and you've received the medicine. And even if the argument is, well, at least the people coming in that have the medicine, there's a lower probability that they go to the hospital and therefore, you know, capacity issues, yada, yada, yada with tourists. Okay, even if you want to go that direction, if they're truly being honest about the quote unquote science and health, what they would do is they would have an exemption for natural immunity. You have the exact same benefit of the as the medicine, and they would also have a date on the medicine, because we know that, and this is not right wing, you know, alt-right stuff here. This is just common knowledge. That's why we have boosters, as an example. We know that the medicine, the efficacy fades. And I mean, now they're suggesting that you get a booster after just 2 months of the J&J medicine, as an example. So it goes back to this theme that we're seeing with global governments, where they're not defining or putting an exemption in there. They're not looking at the nuance of a natural immunity, and then they're not defining what quote unquote fully medicated actually is. Because are you fully medicated after a year? It doesn't look like it. So are you fully medicated after 6 months, after 4 months, after 5 months? It depends on what medicine you have. You see, there's all of this nuance that they are totally ignoring. And that's why you know that this has absolutely nothing to do with science, and it has nothing to do with health. So again, the main question here is, how can other people not see this? Or how can they ignore it? How can they be indifferent to it? And how can they support this? Especially when you're looking at the benefit of something like this, which is negligible. But even if you want to argue there is a benefit, okay, well, let's acknowledge the cost. You're looking at a country that is heavily reliant upon tourism, and you're going to further crush your economy. You're going to crush foreign direct investment. And you're doing that all for what level of benefit? So you've got a very little benefit, if any at all, but you've got a massive cost. So how can that make sense to anybody? And hence, we go into this state where we should start asking, you know, are these people thinking clearly? I guess is a nice way to put it. But then it goes even further. And here is, I'm throwing out just a couple theories, because I said I cannot comprehend the mental gymnastics required to think mandates and restrictions are actually about health. So I said maybe it's the IMF that are pressuring these countries. We did a story on that the other day, how the IMF is the lender of last resort for these countries. They know the global economy is going to slow down. And just like the airline CEOs know, they'll most likely have to go back to the government for handouts, for bailouts. So you can't bite the hand that feeds you. Maybe these global leaders are doing the same thing with the IMF. And therefore, it's the IMF and the World Economic Forum, which I don't think is a big stretch, telling them, hey, do this, do this, do this, do this, or else the probability of you getting another loan in the future when you're short on dollar liquidity is slim to none, and Slim just got shot. I mean, something like that. And then I think you take it a step further. or maybe another angle. And if you've been listening to what Jordan Peterson has been saying, he's actually been talking about having actual discussions with politicians in Canada, one-on-one discussions, where he has said, why? What would, please help me understand all of the restrictions, all of the mandates. And they flat out tell him that, you know, he didn't name any names, but they're very high up politicians and decision makers. He said, basically, the only reason they're doing these mandates in California, or excuse me, in Canada, is the politicians say that it polls well. That's it. So it's not about health, not about science, not about anything. It's just about locking you up in a cage because they think there's a better chance that they get elected. Not only locking you up into a cage, but destroying the economy just because they think that that's going to get them reelected. And this makes a lot of sense to me. Because we know that politicians are sociopaths. We know that they have an insatiable lust for power, and therefore they'll have no problem whatsoever smashing, crushing an economy, destroying lives, putting people out of work, making it impossible for them to feed their kids, put a roof over their head, put gas in their car. They have no problem doing that if it means they get reelected. This is the type of human being we're dealing with. So, again, that theory, or maybe it's not even a theory, but what Jordan Peterson has been saying makes a lot of sense to me. And then it boils down to this idea that, and I said right here, maybe I'm overcomplicating this. Maybe it's very simple and straightforward. Maybe it's just that people are demanding tyranny be thrust upon them in the name of safety. So people are demanding this. So if the politicians are saying, okay, if you guys want to be locked up in a cage and treated like animals, if you want us to destroy the economy, if you want us to create more divisiveness, if you want us to increase unemployment, if you want us to create a two-class society, if you want us to implement Jim Crow 2.0 laws, I guess we'll do it. If that means you're going to vote for us in the future. Then I listened to this interview this morning with Chris Martinson, and all the pieces of the puzzle came together. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. So let's go into this on YouTube. And we'll get the volume going for you guys so you can, I'll turn down my mic, the volume on the video. So we're going to listen to about 3 or 4 minutes of this, and then I'm going to discuss. And I'm being as sincere as I possibly can be in saying that this might be the most important 3 or 4 minutes of video you will watch maybe this year. And I mean that sincerely. So let's watch and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And this is Matthias Desmet and my good buddy, Dr. Chris Martinson. And if you want, let's see, he is a professor. I'm not sure exactly what his credentials are, but he's got a long list of them. You can just Google them to find out. And what he's talking about is this idea of mass formation, or it's a mass psychosis, or it's a mass hypnosis of about 20 to 30% of the population.
that was very, let's say, discouraged, for lack of a better word, prior to the Cerveza sickness. They were fed up with, they were just kind of floating through life. They didn't like their job. They were just kind of disenfranchised with most of their lives. And so when the Cerveza sickness hit, those, that 20 to 30%, they were all able to come to a mutual agreement on what the quote-unquote solution would be, even though it has nothing to do with science or health. And it forms kind of a religion, and therefore it gives them meaning in their life. And it takes their life from being in this state of negativity to this state of positivity, because they're able to form these emotional bonds and connections with people who have this same religion, even if the religion itself makes no sense whatsoever. And it gets to the point where they gravitate to this, and it creates an echo chamber. And the more really insane and ridiculous the policies get, the more they latch onto them, because it gives them this sense of positive being, where before they were just kind of floating through life and just in this state of negativity. So obviously I can't explain it as well as these two gentlemen can. So let's watch this 3 or 4 minute clip here, which again, I think is potentially the most important 3 or 4 minutes of video you will watch all year.
The most crucial thing always in mass formation. So that's the real reason why people buy into the story, even if it is utterly absurd, is not because they believe in the narrative. It is because the narrative leads to the new social bond. That's the real reason. And then there is a fourth advantage. All the frustration and aggression can be directed at an object. And that object is the people who, for one reason or another, do not want to participate in the mass formation. That's
okay. So I want to stop it right there, guys, because if you've listened to a lot of the theories I have, or some of the live presentations I've done over the past 2 or 3 months, I've talked about how they're trying to create this divisiveness, and they
a common enemy. They need this. Thanks, Josh. They need this common enemy. And I believe that moving forward, that common enemy will be people that value freedom. They value liberty. They value the sovereignty of the individual, potentially also free market capitalism. Now, you could say, George, that's the unmedicated. And I think you could be right, but I think it's even more broad-based than just saying, I'm not going to take the medicine. I think the overarching ideas there that they're going to attack, or the people who have these ideas, are the people who, again, value freedom, value liberty, and value the sovereignty of the individual. That's what this is all about. It's the individual. See, what's giving them emotional support, or this positivity that they desire, is this belief in the collective outcome, that the individual doesn't matter. And how many times throughout history have we seen this happen? And we know that this is a very, very slippery slope. We know how this movie ends, and it ends in usually that group committing atrocities. But well, so again, there, my main takeaway, and this is something that I've been talking about as well, I just haven't been able to connect the dots as well as these guys have until now, is that I believe that they're truly, you know, creating this divisiveness, and they'll need a boogeyman, just like they had in Germany in the 1930s. And that boogeyman will be the people who, you know, not just choose not to have the medicine, but also the people that believe in the sovereignty of the individual, and then freedom and liberty. All right, let's keep going here, Josh.
Typically, historically, time and time again, we see the same process. When a population, for instance, the really large-scale mass formations as they happened during the French Revolution, which were not very large, but they were large, the large-scale mass formations, which led to the emergence of communism and Stalinism in the Soviet Union, the large-scale mass formations, which led to Nazi Germany, to the emergence of the totalitarian state in Nazi Germany, they all shared the same characteristics. The population was exactly these four conditions were fulfilled, and then a new kind of solidarity emerged, and all the frustration and aggression was channeled by directing it at the people who did not want to participate or who couldn't participate in the mass formation. So, and then you have this very strange situation where people start from a very negative and aversive mental state, lack of social bond, lack of meaning making, free-floating anxiety, and a lot of frustration and aggression. They switch from this very highly aversive mental state to a symptomatic positive state where they feel connected, their life makes sense because they are all, life start to make sense again through this heroic struggle with the object of anxiety. People are united in their struggle against the coronavirus, for instance. Mm-hmm. So, and their anxiety is connected to a mental representation, and they can satisfy their frustration and aggression. So they that switch from a highly negative mental state to a positive mental state brings people in a kind of mental intoxication. That's why people continue to believe in the narrative, even if it is utterly absurd. And you know, the measures, the corona measures, for instance, like the social distancing, the mask wearing, the vaccination strategies, they function for a certain part of the population. And I'm talking probably about 30% of the population. It's not much more than that. Only 30% of the population usually is really into this process of mass formation, into this process of a collective hypnosis. Then there are an additional 40 or 50% who just go along with the masses, who will never go against the current, because in one way or another, they think it's better not to do so. And then there is an additional 20%, sometimes 10%, that depends a little bit, who really is not hypnotized at all and who also wants to speak out and do something to change the situation.
Yeah, so I'm going to stop it right there, guys.
Just so we can kind of pause and reflect on what he's saying here. And this makes complete sense to me. And from the standpoint of, you've got about 30% of the population that just buys this hook, line, and sinker. Whatever the government, the politicians, the institutions, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Whatever they say, they buy it hook, line, and sinker, and they rationalize what they're being told to do, even if it makes no sense at all. And then you've got about, I don't know the exact numbers he used, but let's say another 30 or 40% that just kind of go along with it. And I see this all over in my own life. Most of my friends and pretty much all my family members, not pretty much all my family members, see things the same way that I do. And they've, I'm not going to go over the decisions they've made, but you guys can guess the decisions that my family members have made without me persuading them at all. They've come to these conclusions on their own. But I do know some people in my personal life that have chosen to just go out there and, you know, their job's mandating this, and or they want to go to XYZ country, so they just go ahead and you know, whatever they want me to do, so be it. And it's just this, you know, they shrug their shoulders and say, well, what's the big deal? And I'm not condemning them for this. I totally, totally get it. Most people don't want to spend their life doing YouTube videos trying to push back on tyranny and authoritarianism and trying to promote the principles of sound money and free market economic or free market capitalism. I get it. You know, most people just want to live their life in peace. Leave me alone. Let me enjoy my kids. Let me enjoy my wife, my husband, and this, and let me enjoy my home life and taking my kids to soccer practice. And if I have to just go ahead and inject a foreign substance into my body to continue just enjoying my life the way I like to enjoy it, that's what I'm going to do. And I think that that's probably the majority of Americans. Now, I don't think that those people are the vocal minority that we see on social media that are that where they're just completely psychotic, and they're not only going along with the mandates and restrictions, but they're actually promoting them as though this is our only way out of this hole that we're in, let's say. And you know, and then the other 20 or 30% are the people like you, like in the Rebel Capitalist community, where you look at that and say, this is insane. And I'm not playing by their rules. If they want to live in a dream world, if they want to live in a fantasy world of fear, that's fine. But I'm not going to play that game. And I'm not going to allow my family to go along with whatever it is they're espousing. And because it doesn't make any sense, because I'm a critical thinker and I've looked at the facts, I've looked at the data. And listen, maybe a lot of those people even chose to get the medicine. I think that that can be a rational choice. Absolutely. You know, based on the discussion that you have with your own doctor. But that is a completely separate issue than being in favor and promoting and cheering for these mandates that are not only restricting people's freedom and liberty, but even when you look at it through the lens of health, safety, and science, they make absolutely no sense. So let's keep going here.
But the first part of the population, 30%, who are really into the process of mass formation, for these people, the more absurd the measures are, the more the better they will work the measures, and the more they will be inclined to buy into the narrative that because the measures
is this function, the bigger the lie, the better. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, indeed. Yes, but the measures really function as a ritual, and the rituals are a kind of behavior that has to be without pragmatic meaning, and that has to demand a sacrifice of the individual. By participating in a ritual, an individual shows that the collective is more important than the individual, meaning that rituals have to be a kind of behavior that is without pragmatic meaning, that leads, that has no advantages for people, no pragmatic advantages, and that for which people has to sacrifice something. So that's a strange thing. That for a certain part of the population, it really doesn't make a difference whether the measures are absurd or not. And that's what's so strange for the people who are not in the process of mass formation. Because they look and they see what's happening here. Do the people not see that what's going on is utterly absurd and that it's even dangerous? But no, they won't.
That's the video I wanted to share with you guys, the clip. I think that all of you should find time, hopefully over the next few days, to go to Chris Martinson's channel on YouTube, Peak Prosperity, and watch that video. And you know, before it's, who knows, taken down, because it's just, I think it, again, it helps connect so many of the dots. And if we're able to understand how that portion of the population thinks, then I think it's much easier for us to hopefully open their eyes. And later on in the conversation, they talk about, you know, what we can do, and pretty much having these discussions with your friends and family member Freds, and what we're doing here on the Rebel Capitalist channel, that 10 or 20% of the population that doesn't buy into this collective hypnosis, they need to just keep making their voice heard. And that's another reason why I'm encouraging, you know, 1,000 people to start their own channel, blog, podcast, etc., to really start not only spreading the ideas that we know are so important to society long term, and the ideas that are going to be important to how well our kids and grandkids live, but it's also you know, it's really just going back to making a dent in the universe, so to speak, and doing everything that you can. And, you know, I sent out that tweet yesterday where I said that every single time I look in the mirror and I ask myself what I can do to push back against tyranny and authoritarianism, the answer I always come to is more. That's it. And I want to encourage every one of you to just do whatever you can, even if you believe it's small, even if you believe that it won't matter, just to communicate. Maybe it's just Bitcoin, gold, sound money principles that hopefully lead them to Austrian economics, that lead them to the values of freedom, liberty, and start introducing them to history so that they open up their eyes if they are part of that 30% that is finding some sort of emotional comfort in this insane narrative. Then maybe they, and it is possible, later on in the conversation, they said that it is possible for to get people off of that or out of that state of hypnosis. And the more we have these discussions with your friends and family member Freds, the more you create content, the more people that you're able to reach, the less of a grip that hypnosis has over that 20 or 30%. So this is why I think it's so important that we all try to take action in any way that we can. Even if you think that it's so small that it won't move the needle, still give it a shot, because we have to have that sense of urgency right now to get off this slippery slope, to get off the road to serfdom and back on the road to freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. And so I wanted to share that with you guys. Hopefully you're able to hear that, because I think it's one of the most important clips. If you weren't, please do take the time to watch the entire video. As always, make sure that you're standing up and fighting for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism